Father, this morning we just come to you. 3 weeks into the new year. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. It was you who made it possible for us to come into a new year. A new day. So we just want to worship you, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord. Now this morning, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Many things we may already know. But help us to keep meditating upon your word day and night. Because your word is light. Your word is life. Your word is spirit. And your word is truth. And outside your word, there is no life. Speak to us, Lord, today. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Can we go to Matthew chapter 5? We'll read the first two verses. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2.
ఆయన జనసమూహమునకు చూచి కొండ ఎక్కి కూర్చుండగా ఆయన శిష్యులు ఆయన యొద్దకు వచ్చిరి. అప్పుడు ఆయన నోరు తెరిచి ఇలాగూ బోధించసాగెను.
ఆమేన్.
ఆమేన్.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up onto the mountainside. I always like portions like that. Because the actual thing we see is that when we see crowds, we go into the middle of the crowds. We like crowds. But when Jesus sees crowds, he goes up to the mountainside and he sat down. And scripture says, immediately there is a separation between the crowds and the disciples.
శిష్యులకు మరియు జన సమూహములకు ఎడబాటు కలిగెను.
ద డిసైపుల్స్ గో అప్ ద మౌంటైన్.
శిష్యులు ఆ కొండపైకి వెళ్ళారు.
అండ్ హి టీచెస్ దెం.
వారిని బోధించడం ప్రారంభించాడు.
దిస్ ఇస్ వన్ థింగ్ విచ్ వి ఆల్వేస్ లెర్న్ ఇన్ లైఫ్.
జీవితంలో ఇదొక విషయము మనం ఎల్లప్పుడూ
నేర్చుకుంటాం. యాస్ సర్వెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్,
దేవుని యొక్క సేవకులముగా,
యు కెనాట్ టీచ్ ఎవ్రీబడి.
మన ప్రతి ఒక్కరికి నీవు బోధించలేవు. నీవు
యు కెన్ హీల్ ఎవ్రీబడి,
అందరినీ స్వస్థపరచవచ్చు.
యు కెన్ డెలివర్ ఎవ్రీబడి,
అనేకులు నీవు విడుదల చేయవచ్చు.
యు కెన్ గివ్ గిఫ్ట్స్ టు ఎవ్రీబడి,
బహుమానాలు అందరికి ఇవ్వవచ్చు.
బట్ యు కెన్ టీచ్ ఓన్లీ సమ్.
కానీ
you can teach only some.
కేవలము కుమారులకు మాత్రమే నీవు బోధించగలవు.
And the teaching, those who receive the teaching is always separated from the crowd.
ఆ బోధ ఎవరైతే అంగీకరిస్తారో వారు ఎల్లప్పుడూ కూడా జనసమూహం నుంచి ఎడబాటు వేరు చేయబడతారు.
And in, we don't have to turn there, in Mark chapter 1, Jesus actually tells his disciples, again he's leaving the crowds, just like that, and goes to another place. And he tells the disciples why he's leaving the crowds. He said, for this purpose I have come, to teach. To teach. So he leaves the crowds which are not interested in his teaching and he goes to another place to look for people who will receive the teaching. And remember, we are servants of God. There should not be a single day in our life where we are not a student of God.
చూడండి, మన జీవితంలో ఏ ఒక్క దినము కూడా దేవుని విద్యార్థిగా ఉండకుండా ఆ దినము గడపాలి.
Every day of our life,
ప్రతి దినము కూడా మన జీవితంలో
I don't think there is a single day in my life from the day I got saved 35 years ago where I haven't been a student. All the days of our life will be students. We should be students. All the days of eternity we will be students. Problem is, in the kingdom of God, the minute you stop becoming a student, you actually stop becoming a teacher. We have nothing more. Now, I have met so many very, very senior pastors, and every time I meet them after 1 year, two, they are still teaching what they are taught. It's the same message over and over again because they have never learned anything further. Jesus says something. He says his good servants will bring the old things and the new things. And the new thing is the proof that we are studying. And that's not what is important. That God is teaching. I can study. If God doesn't teach, we will not learn. We will not learn. So never pastors, never stop teaching, learning. So chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 of Matthew is the Sermon on the Mount. And there is nothing like that ever in human history. It changed history. That three chapters changes the way we look at life. 100s of years earlier on Mount Sinai, God had spoken to Moses and given him the law. That was the letter of the law. That changed history. Almost every constitution in every country is based on the law which God gave on Mount Sinai. It's not the law of Moses. It says law came through Moses. And Exodus 20 actually says God spoke these words to Moses. Now hundreds of years later, on another small little mountain, Jesus is speaking. There was given the letter of the law. And here is given the spirit of the law. And it changes everything. 5, 6, 7. Three chapters. 101 verses. And right in the middle of it is chapter 6 and verse 33. That if you put these three chapters together, 101 verses, this is the 51st verse. And Jesus says something. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And this is the key. That is the key of the kingdom. This is the key of continuous walking with God. One of the fundamental things which God told me to tell my church and all our churches. So to all our churches, I said this. God will never become second in my life. In nobody's life. Either he's first or he steps back. And that's why you see in the Bible God stopping his work in so many people. When God was first, he used them, spoke through them. But the minute God became second or third or moved back, it doesn't matter how great that man was, God stopped. Isaac must have been around 110 years old when he finally spoke to Jacob. Blessed him. Go to your mother's house. Stay there. He dies at 180. For the next 70, 60 years of his life, nothing is written in the Bible. When he dies, it is just written he died. His sons bury him. He has nothing to say. Yet when Jacob dies, even on the day of his death, he calls his sons. Hear, O sons of Jacob, what Israel has to say. Till his last breath, the prophetic voice is going forth. 60 or 70 years, God has nothing to say through Isaac. When Joseph dies, as he is dying, he rises up and he calls the elders of Israel. And he tells them, I'm going to die. Don't bury my body. Keep it here. One day God will send a savior. And when you go from this land, take my body with you. So you need to realize how people have entered their lives. Because our God is a living God. Our God is not a dead God. It's a living God. And all of us, especially us servants of God, we need to have a living relationship with God. I don't understand Telugu very well, but I could understand Pastor as he was leading. He was using the word Kapiri. Yeah. Shepherd?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And I knew he was speaking from Psalm 23.
Yes.
Yeah. And scripture says, he leads me to still waters. The shepherd never leads us to muddy waters. If I don't drink still waters, clear waters, the word that I give out also will be muddy. The word I receive should be clear so that the word I give is clear. Otherwise, I am confused and I will confuse my sheep. That's the first thing we learn there. And then it says he leads me to a place of rest. But it doesn't stop there. When the shepherd leads, he doesn't keep us there. He leads us to the valley of shadow of death. He will lead us through incredibly difficult and dangerous places in life. But he's the one who is leading us. Therefore we do not fear. And only if I keep him first, I can allow him to lead from a place of incredible rest to a place of incredible danger. From green pastures where the shadow of death is lurking. It is only if I put him first, I can allow him to lead me from there into the wilderness. There's no green grass there. There's no still water there. And yet I am surrounded by enemies. But because he leads me, and because I follow, he is still able to feed me in that place. And all that is possible only if we put God first. And if we don't put God first, if we don't put God first, he cannot lead us. If we put God second, we will be led by what we put first. That is this constant checking for us, especially servants of God. Lord, show me today. Are you first? Early this morning, when I woke up, that's the first thing I'm very grateful is I'm alive. There's no guarantee you will sleep and wake up the next day. There is no such guarantee. So it's an incredible thing that your eyes open and your legs move. So it's a gift. It's an incredible gift. Then you are seeking his face. I'm not preaching what he taught me today. I'm preaching what he taught me earlier. What he spoke to me today is from, we don't have to turn there, we know Romans 8:14. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit are called the sons of God. What he told me is that everybody is led. There's nobody who's not led. And if you are not led by the Spirit of God, you are led by somebody else. Nothing happens in the physical realm which is not controlled by the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm controls the physical realm. Nothing happens here unless it is moved there. What he said is that if you are not controlled by my spirit, you are controlled by an unholy spirit. Put me first in your life. Come back and keep putting him first in our life. And we need to learn practically how to do that. Saturday we had our pastor's conference. And I think one of you were there, I think. Pastor was there? You were there. Yes, you were there. One or two, three of you were there. Yeah. You know? So we looked at practically, because sheep doesn't want theory. They need to know, how do I do this? And the law is the letter. The Sermon on the Mount is the spirit. If you don't have the letter, we will not understand the spirit. So in the law, Jesus said this. I'll give you the reference, but you can read it later. later. We all know it because we are pastors. It's found in Exodus 13. Verses 11 to 6. 16. 11 to 16. This is what it says. Everything that opens the womb, the firstborn, the male, has to be set apart for God. Your firstborn son, or if your cow has a calf, the firstborn, if your sheep has a lamb, the firstborn has to be set apart for God. But if it is a donkey, redeem it with a lamb. And if you don't have a lamb to redeem it, break its neck. Don't give it to God. And it was the most unreasonable thing you can ever think in the physical realm. And God also said, later if your children ask, why are you doing this? You should tell them, we were slaves in Egypt. And with his mighty hand, our God redeemed us. Therefore, we give him our firstborn. They did it by the letter. They did not understand what they were doing. That's what Peter says, those prophets who searched the scriptures to find that mystery, it was only open to us. What was that mighty hand that God used to deliver Israel out of Egypt? To deliver Israel out of Egypt, God told they have to do only one thing. Kill a lamb. Take the blood, put it on the lentils of your house, and stay inside. This is what God had told Moses. Tell Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn. Let him go. If you don't let him go, I will take your firstborn. I will take your firstborn. The blood is put, they stay inside, and they are delivered. But what they didn't understand, that Passover lamb was not the lamb they killed. It was Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And when Jesus comes in the flesh, the Father says, today I have begotten you. He is the firstborn of all creation. To deliver us, God gave his firstborn. Because God says, I put you first. God says, you really want to have a relationship with me? You need to put me first. I put you first. And through the Bible he says that your name is engraved in the palms of my hand. The thoughts that I have towards you cannot be counted. The beloved of the Lord rides upon the shoulders. That's, what does that mean? Think about a father, a mother, two big children, and a small baby walking. What does the father do? He takes that little one and puts him on the shoulder. The whole family is walking. And if you look from far, you will see the father has actually taken the infant and put him first. And that's what God tells. The beloved of the Lord rides upon his shoulders. Look through scripture, God says, I put you first.
So the
question asked to you and me is this. Do we put him first? So to Israel he says, you put me first. And I will tell you practically how to do that. You got married and you have your first son. Not first daughter. Because daughter you know is going away. Son is staying. Son is the one who will inherit. The first son who opens the womb. Give it to me. The first calf your cow gives. Give it to me. The first lamb the sheep gives. Give it to me. You farm. The rain has come. And the crop is growing. First fruit. Give it to me. When you see scripture, scripture says in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And therefore he was accepted. The question is, by faith, only by faith we can give a sacrifice which is acceptable to God. By sight, it is not possible. It is not possible. Sight we can give good sacrifice. But only by faith we can give a sacrifice which is excellent. If you go to Genesis chapter 4, and if you come to verse 4 and 5, and I want you pastors to read it. Because sometimes we read and sometimes we miss what is written. You can read verse 3 also. Cain just brought an offering. Good offering. What did Abel bring? He brought the firstborn. That is why his was accepted. Not only because of the blood. I believe if Cain had brought the first fruits, God would have accepted it. He didn't bring the first fruits. Abel brought the firstborn. And God accepted it. Why is it so? Why is it only by faith you can give the firstborn? Let's say Pastor Naveen here. And he's married. Just imagine, he's married, but just imagine he's just married. And his wife gives birth to a son. Now there is a problem. He's got a child. He's got a son. There is no guarantee he will have another son. So only by faith you can give only the first one. You have two sons, three sons, four sons, and then give one of the sons. You have given by sight, you haven't given by faith. It's a good sacrifice. But God doesn't accept it. Because you did not put God first. Your cow had a calf. There is no guarantee your cow will have a second one. Forget that it could die before the second one. So only the first one you can give by faith. You need to realize faith and the first are connected. And we know Hebrews 11:6 so well. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He is. And He is the rewarder. All those who seek Him diligently. Scripture doesn't say He blesses. It says He rewards. It's a difference between a blessing and a reward. In Deuteronomy 28, God says, if you listen to my voice and you do these things, these blessings will follow you. A blessing and a reward is not the same. I see God's word, understand God's word, I obey Him by sight. Blessings come. The faith, what is promised is a reward. It's a reward. It's not just a blessing. And God says without faith it is impossible to please God. And what faith actually does, it gives you opportunities every day in your life, at some point in life, to put God first. Abraham has fought those five kings, defeated them, got all the loot, and he's coming. Melchizedek meets him on the way. He's got so much plunder. The first thing he does is gives one-tenth to Melchizedek. Later he tells Sodom's king Bera, I don't want anything of the rest. You can take it. But one-tenth he gave to Melchizedek. You have to realize in scripture, when God uses this term, He says give. But when it comes to first fruits or tithes, He says give. Bring. One is give. When the offering bag comes later, we are giving. It's up to us. 1 rupee. 2 rupee. It's up to us. But when it comes to tithes, God never says give. God says bring. Because it is His. It is His. It is not ours. And the problem with tithes is this. Many Christians tithe. But they don't get anything out of it. Because there is a problem. Imagine Pastor Naveen. Imagine his income is 20,000. And his rent is 3,000. And then he has provisions, let us say 8,000. Child's fees. He pays the rent. He buys everything needed for that month. He pays the child's fees. And then he says, hallelujah, I have 2,000 left. And he pays his tithe. He will never get rewarded. Because he didn't give by faith. He gave from the bottom and not from the top. So you gave by sight. All my expenses are met. Now God take yours. But God says it is impossible to please God without faith. By faith, I have no clue what the demands of this month are. But God, you come first. I give you what belongs to yours. God says, I will reward you. Not just bless you. Not just bless you. And in everything we have that. Let us take today. 24 hours. We have one day. Some days ministry is very tiring. We can be very busy. Like sometimes when I go to other places, other countries. It's packed. I could be preaching up to 9 to 10 hours a day. And then counseling the pastors till night. Those things don't happen to us through the year. But for Jesus, just almost every day. He has to preach. He has to heal the sick. He has to deliver the oppressed. Morning till evening the crowds are there. Asking for help. Do you know what scripture says? It gives us a opening into Jesus' life. We know the portion, but I'll give you. It is Mark 1:35. Scripture says, very early in the morning. When it was still dark, he got up. He went to a place that was remote. And he was praying. Why? Because he has to put God first. And not ministry first. Now ask ourselves. How does our day begin? In each day, do we put God first? Do we put God first? Is that how our day begins? 2019 is going to be an incredible year for every man, woman and child who puts God first. It is going to be an year like no year before. Incredible things will happen. Terrible things also will happen. Terrible things. Like you know today. It's 21st. Yet in America it is 20th. And the eclipse is going on now. It will finish only by 1 in the afternoon. Hour 1 o'clock. And it is the final blood moon. And most Christians even do not realize through Peter God had said, I will give you signs in the sky and your moon will turn red. And there is one man over there. All over, even in India last night and all over the world, the witches, the wizards, the workers of iniquity are gathering to stop that one man. And that man is President Trump. Because they want to bring him down. Because never in recent human history has a president risen who is for the church and who is for Israel. And they don't want him. These powers of darkness want to pull him down. What people don't realize is this. When Trump was born, there was a red moon. Exactly a year later, Israel became free. And 2 years ago, on this day in America, January the 20th, he became president. When he became president, he was 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old. Exactly. And today, 2 years, there is another red moon. And God's people who know, even in this land, are up and interceding. Because they know, we need him up there for a season. Have you noticed? He came to power. 6 months. In 6 months, he destroyed ISIS. ISIS. They killed thousands and thousands of Christians in the Middle East. For years and years, Obama refused to do it. You have to look at the things he actually has done in the first year. He turned history around. That's why they hate him. Media is against him. Hollywood is against him. Half the blind church is against him. Yet he stands there alone. Because God has picked him for a time and a season like this. And you look at him. He's the 45th president of America. In Isaiah 45, God says, Cyrus is my chosen king to deliver my people. We are blinded. We will pray against the very people and the things that God is doing. Because we have a living God. A living God. And we don't realize all these past few weeks, powers of darkness, they have been meeting, they are doing all kind of stuff against the church and Christians. One set of people who need to cut out sleep in our lives are we servants of God. Because Jesus said, when men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. And I will tell you, pastors, in 2019, sleep in the afternoon and be remain till 3 in the morning. Awake. Because you are fighting for the souls of your people. We have to learn to put God first. Because this is not a game. This is a life and death battle between powers of darkness and the power of God. But they can never defeat God. But God will not do anything without us. Because the keys have been given to us. And that's what he told the disciples even at the end. Lord, how do we endure these last days? He said, watch and pray. Not just pray. Watch and pray. Look at the signs. President after president after president of America came. Every one of them promised, we will declare Jerusalem is the capital. Not a single one of them did. But he did. He did. We are right at the end because Jesus cannot come to Israel until to Jerusalem unless Jerusalem is declared the capital. Jerusalem is the capital. And he shifted first. One by one, little, others are slowly. We need to realize we are moving in times which the prophets foretold about. We want to be part of this. We learn to put God first in everything. If God does not come first, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, no one can serve two masters. You will love one, hate the other. And he said, no one can serve God and mammon. God and money. We don't realize. In so many lives, money is first. It's not God. And that's what churches teach. Give! And it shall be given unto you. When the minute you lift that up, you haven't lifted Christ up, you have lifted money up. Now they are not giving to put God first, like giving your first fruits, you are giving to get more money. So unconsciously we have used the pulpit not to magnify Christ, but to magnify mammon. In the book of Acts, scripture says very clearly, the church had so many needs. The rich people, they sold their lands, they brought their money, they were not giving to get. They were putting God first. They're putting the kingdom first. But what is important is this. Scripture records, they brought the money, put it at the apostles' feet. That's where they kept mammon. Not at the apostles' hand. That's what we have to teach our people. Offering bag may come, but you lay the money at the feet of God's servant. Otherwise, one day you will ask, what happened to my money? What did you use it for? Because you did not surrender your money. We need mammon. Jesus said, use unrighteous mammon like that wise steward for the extension of the kingdom. Be wise like them. Use it for the kingdom. So that when you reach there, you will have many welcoming you. Many welcoming. We have changed the gospel. God is not first in our life. Money is first in our life. Reputation is first in life. A name is first in life. Not for Jesus. Not for Jesus. For Jesus, it was always his father. It was always the name of his father. It was always the reputation of the father. And God says, put me first. Scripture says, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God and he shall lift you up. In due season, whenever. Only God should lift us up. In his time. The thing is, when God lifts a servant up, he knows the servant is ready to be lifted up. Once he's lifted, pride won't come in. Pride word. You look at all the ones who have been lifted up, now it is about them. It is not about Christ. It is all about them. For Jesus, it was never about them. About him. Scripture says, after the feeding of the 5,000, they came to make him king by force. Scripture says he left them and went into a deserted place. That's what how we began. Jesus saw the crowds. He went up the mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, Scripture says he turned to them. And he said, if any man wants to follow me, this, everybody left. Everybody left. When the crowds came to hear him at the seashore, he got into a boat. He said, push me a little further away from the crowd. And then he spoke. And as pastor, there should be always a separation in our heart between us and money and us and the pull of the crowd. Like Jesus. Because we have to protect ourselves. Money should be at the feet. Crowd should be a little far away. Otherwise we will not be able to keep God first. Because God says, you have to put me first. That's the first thing he said in the on Mount Sinai. Israel shall have no other gods before me. And the Sermon on the Mount, seek first. And you will see every one of them had to go through life where they had to put God first. For Abraham, the test was this. Final test. Before you will be declared, will you put me first? You are an old man. In your old age, you have a son. Take a 3-day journey and offer your son as a living sacrifice. Let me see if I am first or your son is first. And Scripture says, early in the morning, he took his son and he left. And every step of that 3-day journey, he's declaring, you are first. He must have told Sarah, the Lord told me to offer our son. Sarah must have said, yes, my Lord. Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes, Sarah called Abraham, my Lord, my Master. And on the mountain, on a stone altar, Isaac is tied. He's a young, strong man. He doesn't fight his father. And you see the sight on earth. And you see the sight in heaven. Isaac on the altar. The knife lifted up. You have the father. You have the mother. You have the son. All aligned to the will of God. All three. That is God's ideal family. All three put God first. That's why in Isaiah God says, Abraham alone and your mother Sarah I called. Abraham is dead. Isaac is now married. And there is famine. There is famine. And he moves towards Egypt. God says, stop. Don't go. He stops. Then God says the second thing. Sow your seed. Nobody will do that. There's no rain. The land is dry. Everything is cracked. You can't go to the place of plenty. And all the seed you have, God is asking, sow it in this dry land. You can only do it by faith. And you can only do it if you put God first. Isaac has the chance now to put God first. And scripture says, he got 100-fold. There will be times in our life. God may say, take all your money and put it into something in which we see nothing. Will we be able to put God first? I know my associate pastor here, he knows, 10 years ago. One day the Lord told me, take all your money you had saved and put away. And I will tell you where to give it. All my money. I had shares with Reliance. I had shares with Franklin Templeton. Sold it all. In one day, everything was given away to somebody and someone I did not know. Emptied in one day. Because that's the only way I could put him first. God will ask. It will be different for different people. It will be different. Joseph is in Egypt. He's in Potiphar's house. He's extremely good servant. He's reached the top. The master has put everything under his hands. And then temptation comes. This is from the master's wife. He's in a difficult position. If he refuses her, he can be in trouble. Because she is the mistress. That is the danger. The temptation. If he gives in to her, everything is under your hand. Except her. If you give in to that, you have the master's household and the master's wife also. You can actually go up a little more higher. Then there is a third choice. You can put God first. If you put God first, it also could mean you could die. When he opens his mouth, I cannot do this against him. Till then he was receiving blessings. Now his life is going to change. Because when you obey God by faith, put him first. God is a rewarder of faith. Now Joseph is on the way to the throne. All of us, could be a small thing, could be a big thing, but there is nothing like that in putting God first. Because God is always watching us. Am I putting God first? Are we putting God first? Here is a young man, brought 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. He's a slave. And most slaves are sent in different places. But he's a lucky slave. He was not sold to a house. He was picked by the king. 3 years training. After that, if you pass, you will become a collector in Babylon. 3 years training, one exam, One exam?
Okay, exam.
You can become a governor. You are a lucky slave. And you're put in the king's hostel. First day. First meal. Has to make a very simple choice. In your book, O Lord. In your book, O Lord. In your law, Lord. It is written what you can eat. What you cannot eat. It's before you. If he eats, nobody will know. If he doesn't eat, nobody will
know.
But there is one who knows. This is the point where he has to decide who comes first. Who comes first? Who is first in our life? Just a very simple choice. Simple choice. But it was not a simple choice. In God's eyes, this young man made a very great choice. And God is a rewarder of those who put him first. Jacob is an old man. And he thinks Joseph is dead. Joseph is not dead. He is alive. Now he is governor. 22-23 years have passed. After the third trip, the sons come back. Father, Joseph is alive. Scripture says he rose up from the dead. Second news. He's governor. And he sent all these cards to bring you back. Father is so excited. Let's go back.
No,
let's go to Egypt. They start. But they reach Beersheba. There he stops. And then he asks God to go or not to go. My son is there. He has reached the highest place. If I go there, for me, my household, plenty. Peace, prosperity, security. But should I go? Should I go? Can we make a decision like that? Where we put God above everything else in life? And God tells Jacob, go. I'll go with you. In your old age, Joseph will close your eyes. One day, I'll bring your people back. We have a living God. We have a living God. In everything, each day, in our timing, in our eating. I was telling the pastors, this should be a lifestyle of fasting. Jesus fasted all his life. You will learn it from scripture. Jesus came from the Mount of Transfiguration. He had only taken 3 disciples with him. Down a man brought a boy with a demonic spirit. They couldn't do anything. Jesus came down. They said, Lord, your disciples couldn't do anything. He said, you faithless and the perverse generation. He said, out. Demon went out. Then the disciples came to him privately. He said, Lord, why didn't it go when we did? He said, first because of your unbelief. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, we know that portion. He said, second thing. This kind will go only with fasting and prayer. He said, your life And my life is different.
You
don't have a consistent, disciplined, secret life of fasting, praying, seeking the face of God, so powers of darkness doesn't move before you. You are not able to resist the devil. And that's the question God is asking. This year, will we put him first when it comes to food? Because everybody eats. But will we fast to get close to God? That too I shared. 3 meals a day. Every doctor will say, important meal, breakfast. And this is pastor's breakfast meeting. If the breakfast isn't there in brackets, people won't come. Pastor's breakfast meeting. Most important meal is breakfast. So the question I ask pastors is this. If you choose to fast, which meal will you give it to God? Breakfast. So that's the most important meal. When I fast, O Lord, I will give you the most important meal, not the second or the third. When I give you my time, Lord, I will give you my best time, not the second or the third. When I give you my tithes, O Lord, I'll give from the top, not from the middle or from the bottom. And God watches. This is our secret life. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, do it in secret. Then your Father who sees you in secret. This is not public things. Jesus had a secret life. It is revealed to us by the disciples. It is not a one day thing. It's an everyday thing. This is a part and parcel of your life. This is how we practically put God first in our life. And when we do that, you see God doing his part. The blessings follow us. Not only that, he rewards us. He rewards us. And we don't even know what rewards are. Real rewards are waiting there. Eyes haven't seen. No ears heard. But God is preparing for those. Everything. God says, put me first. There are fathers sitting here. Almost everybody is a father. All who are fathers. Could you show me a hand? See, we all have children. And children are precious. And children are important. But children don't come first. Christ comes first. Christ comes first. Christ was first. There was this real story. Years and years back. A British pastor who was a missionary in Africa. He, his only son, and an African friend of his son were in a boat. It was his son's friend, same age, young boys. Three of them went into the lake in the boat. Suddenly there was a storm. And the boat capsized. And the boys did not know how to swim. And the distance was very far. And he couldn't take them both. He was tiring. They realized I could save only one. And then he told his son, son, you know Jesus. He doesn't know. So you need to go. You need to go. You need to die. I'll take him. So he needs a chance to believe. Let go of his son and save the other boy. This testimony was shared when this man was old. The old man was at a church in Africa. An African pastor was sharing his testimony. He said, this is the man who gave up his own son to save a black boy.
And
then he said, do you know who that black boy is? Said, I am that black boy, your pastor. God says, will you put your son first? Or will you put me first? God told Eli, I will cut you out. I'll cut your entire family out. Because you honored your sons more than you honored
me.
That's what God is asking. Who comes first? We are married. A wives are very important to us. But they are second, they are not first. That's why Enoch was taken alone. And God warned us, remember Lot's wife. Because for Lot, God was not first, his wife was first. She took him to Sodom. She kept him in Sodom. And she died outside Sodom. And Jesus had one thing to say. Remember Lot's wife. God comes first. Not our ministry. Not our work. God comes first. We are willing to leave everything because of God. Because of God. Imagine a 600-year-old man. Prosperous old man. God says, you will leave your work. You will do my work. That is Noah. For 120 years. Building something. In which there is no income. Income ledu. Offering ledu. Blessings ledu. It's just obeying God. He had left everything to do something because he put God first. Why I'm saying this? Because there are so many young pastors coming into ministry because of offerings. When I first came to ministry, I didn't know what ministry was. God called me, I resigned my job, and I got into ministry, and that old pastor who passed away, he sent me for a meeting to a house. And I come from a Catholic background. God saved and brought me out. After the meeting in that house, they gave me a cover. And I thought this cover was to be posted in the post box because I did not know, even after getting into ministry, pastors get offerings. I didn't know. And I told them, you haven't written the address. We don't get into this to receive. Noah did not receive for 120 years for the work what he was doing. But he put God first. Abraham put God first. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob put God first. Yesterday I was telling a whole set of believers. In another church, every one of them is from not from Hyderabad. They are all from faraway places and other countries. Any of you have a house? They said no. All living on rent? All here far away? I said God writes in his scripture in Hebrews 11 and 9, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob lived like aliens in tents. They did not build a house. They could have built a house. Why did they live in tents? For whose sake? For whose sake? Not for their sake. Not for Israel's sake. For our sake. To teach us, we are pilgrims in this world going through, there is nothing permanent here. Nothing permanent here. For our sake, they offered their lives by faith. God gives you a house, God bless you. If God doesn't give us a house, we still bless you. Because we know one thing, building a house for us there. Building a house for us there. We are just passing through. Unless we see these things, we'll not be able to put God first in our lives. Family. Wife, children, money, crowds, possessions. Through these things, the enemy will come and draw our heart. What he is trying to do with believers is not to take God out. To make God second. So subtle that we may not even realize God is second in my life. Something, somebody has replaced, God has won in my life. So listen carefully this year. God may demand something from some of us to prove He is first. At that time, we'll be able to prove to us, to the spiritual realm, my God comes first. My God comes first. Shall we pray? Father, this morning, we come to you, Lord, as servants. We know only one Master. Only one Lord. Only one God. Only one King. It's you, Lord. You come first in our lives. Teach us, Lord, every day to keep you first. Teach us. Teach us, Lord. Teach us. Even today to keep you first. We love you. Now teach us to love you first with all our heart. At the end of our life, after having done an incredible ministry, we do not want to hear from your lips what the church at Ephesus heard. Good. 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 But I have one thing against you. You have come down from the first love. I am not first in your life. Ministry is first in your life. We want to come back, Lord. Put you first in our life. And if you even take our ministry away, if you take our churches away, we will still declare it is well with my soul. We will say God gave and God took. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You come first. Not our church. Not our work. Not our ministry. Not our family. Nothing. You alone, oh Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.